You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
As a manager, you're clearly thinking about the game, the matchup, what you're going to do next, and what you might have to do after that. In those moments, though, do you allow yourself to live inside of what can be a very exciting place to play baseball?
Yeah, I mean, I think you absolutely feel it and you enjoy it. You still got to think about what's next, but that's how you do it. I mean, that's why we all love great atmospheres, because just being in it and being amongst everybody is part of what makes the place so special.
Yeah, there's a spirituality sometimes, Craig, about like the energy of a crowd feeding off the energy of a ball club and then going back to the crowd and back to the ball club, like the sort of circle. I know that's some hippy-dippy baloney to a lot of people.
I love it. Speaks, I love it. That's great. That's great hippy-dippy baloney, man.
I didn't know hippies ate baloney.
But, I mean, do you feel that? Yeah, hippies love baloney, man. Just roll it up, put a piece of cheese in there. Do you feel it like that sometimes?
Yeah, no, I think that's a good way to say it. I mean, I think you're right. I mean, the crowd feeds off the team feeds off the crowd. And that's what makes it special. So I absolutely think a great home field and great fans can make you feel that.
Yeah, I mean, you said last night that like the belief that you can come back is like something you learn and then start to believe it, and it can get stronger over the course of a season for a team. Have you seen that before?
Yeah, I think you do. I mean, it's. You know, it's a chicken and the egg. You know, it's which comes first, like the comeback or the belief, right? But you do it once, and it's not that. And I guess what I was trying to say last night is it's not that, you know, after that leadoff hitter Kelly gets on, Carson gets on, it's not that you know what's going to happen. It's just the place changes because it's happened before this year, right? And that's what you felt like the place believed it almost. And like I said, it ain't going to make it happen, but it gives everybody some belief and it gets everybody locked in and fired up and, some good things happened.
Another way that manifested itself was with Ballesteros, where he comes up and obviously guy comes up for the first time, you give him a great hand, and then he had the bases loaded situation. When a new player comes up, do you tell them about what Wrigley is like, or do you like, hey, you're going to just have to experience what this place is like?
I think you have to experience it. I think telling people how they're going to feel, I'm not sure that helps them, right? You got to, because you have to, what are your emotions going to do to you? And then how does that affect your at bats? Does it affect your mechanics? Things like that. Does it affect how you think? You do have to process that. And that's the beauty of like pressure. You know, that's playing with pressure, right? And that's what we love to do. So you want it, but until you go through it, you're not sure how you're going to feel.
I was thinking as Lawrence was asking about Ballesteros, I mix him up. I've always thought that like great teams usually have that one kid, or maybe two kids, or maybe three kids, who are just like so happy and so energetic just to be there. And then I started thinking, well, we should look back at Craig Council's 2001 Diamondbacks and see who the young guy was on that team. I don't know if you had any. There's a bunch of old 30-somethings. Every single starter in their 30s. What the hell, Craig? That was a veteran bunch you were on. I don't know if there were any kids on that team.
On that team, there were not. No. There was no real young players on that team, no.
I guess Byung-hun Kim, but, you know, things didn't go so well for him, but they still won. All right, we'll move on. What has Justin Turner been like behind the scenes from your perspective? It was so great to see him get that moment last night. What kind of role has he played on your team?
I think largely what you'd expect. I mean, Justin's, you know, he's just a baseball player. He's made his career out of he's obviously a very talented hitter, but he's made his career out of just really having a like close feel with the game, and sees the game, cage rat, you know, like in the cage all the time, talking baseball, and so it's easy because that guy's always watching, and when you're always watching, you're always seeing things that can maybe help your teammates or give you a little bit of an edge, and that never stops with Justin, and so that's what he's, I think, added for sure. And look, he hasn't swung the bat great yet. He knows that, and we know that, and we're trying to get him going. And it's great to have a moment like that last night, just to, you know, feel like it did something great for the team, right? When you've struggled a little bit, so hopefully that can be a catalyst and you know, help him get on track here.
Ben Brown was saying after the game that Justin Turner has had time for every single person on the team. I'm super grateful he's even had time for me. That's a young pitcher, and Justin Turner has sought him out. That seems like a rare thing for a veteran to do on a ball club.
Yeah, I think Justin, you know, truly enjoys like the clubhouse and not the clubhouse just for like, but for like to talk baseball and to help people with baseball. Not just to be there, but to really talk about the game, or help a player kind of move forward. And that's cool. And that's fun. And I think, when you understand what Justin's kind of accomplished and the moments that he's been in, you do want to talk about that with him.
Cubs manager Craig Council joining us here on the Spiegel and Holmes show. Craig, from your perspective, how did you guys get Dansby back on track offensively?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Dansby has historically gone through pretty big swings kind of in like hot and cold, you know, maybe a little more significant than probably more significant than a lot of guys. And that's just how he gets to kind of his offensive profile. So, you know, I think just some thing we all try to figure this out as hitters, right? You try to figure, why do I go into slumps? And then when I'm hot, why was I ever in a slump? It's not a very answerable question, right? Cause if I could answer it, then there'd be really no excuse for him to go into a slump, right?
Correct.
So it's a little bit like,
it's like science and art at the same time.
Yeah. You're trying and you're making adjustments and maybe that's not working or maybe the player's not hearing it and you're trying to figure out how do I get someone to hear maybe something that doesn't make sense to him right now. So it's just, you know, you just keep trying, and Dan, you keep working at it. The player keeps working at it. The coach keeps working at it. And you just keep going through that process, and it's messy, and it's not always successful, and it's the fun of coaching.
Craig, on the broadcast last night, Taylor McGregor brought up something I thought was fascinating that I think we're going to talk about later on in the show, and it's the idea of young pitchers maybe coming back to charting pitches, which – I was sitting there going, wow, I didn't know that a lot of teams had kind of stopped doing that. What's your philosophy on that? And as a player, what do you think is the benefit of it?
I mean, the benefit of it is I think the reason it was originally done is because it was legitimately the only way. That's how we actually kept track, right? Now it is kept track for us, right? The computers, essentially, the data does it for us, essentially. But I think this idea stems from just being very similar to another maybe pitcher on the team, and for that reason, there's some reason to just kind of understand that. And then I think when you're really, really new to this process and the big league hitter, that there's some value there too.
And there's some nuance too of like raw data versus what you're picking up as you're seeing. And I always try to marry the objective and the subjective in baseball because human beings play the game. It just feels like it's one of those things that, yes, you can have the data presented to you, but the experience of watching it so closely, I feel like there's some benefit to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the interesting conversation that comes out of that is it's just like a question of why did you choose that pitch? And then understanding, what goes through the pitcher's head as to why he chose that pitch, or what goes through the catcher's head as to why he chose that pitch. That's where the learning happens. You might not agree with it, and maybe it caused you to go a different direction. Pitch calling and game calling is a very nuanced topic, but I think you try to just get a little bit better at it, and a little bit better at it, and you never master it. You never have the right answer, but you just try to keep getting a little bit better at it.
With that as the backdrop, Craig, what are your takeaways, or what were your takeaways from Cade Horton shaking off Miguel Amaya to throw his first changeup of the game and elicit just a horribly lost swing from Juan Soto at Citi Field on Saturday night?
Horribly lost swing. Interesting.
Well,
interesting take.
I mean, that's not a guy who looks like that. Didn't he look lost? He never looks like that.
I loved it because he swung and missed.
Okay. What about the courage of Cade.
You don't like that answer? You want a different answer?
I want more, Craig. I mean, we got a few minutes left. I mean, we can just move on to the next thing. We can do that. But I suspect there's more that you thought about that. No?
Well, I mean, I think the cool thing for me is that, regardless of the quality of the pitch, it shows Cade has some conviction there. I think that's probably the thing you learn from that. And in that time it worked, and then at some other point conviction can get you in a little trouble, right? But I think it's also a confidence builder, which we like, and that the changeup, can play in a big spot. Now it's one pitch, so we're gonna have to like throw a bunch more of them to see if it's gonna be a good pitch for him. But it's certainly at that moment it was Cade had conviction and he executed a really good pitch.
See, that was not a horribly lost answer right there. That was much better.
It's very found.
Yeah, he found it. Yeah. He's beautifully found that answer. When do we get to see Cade Horton again?
And when I'm on Sports Talk Radio, I learned that just keep talking, and that's helpful, right?
Oh my God, he figured out our job, Lawrence. Figured it out,
Craig. That's our motto: just keep talking.
Just keep talking. We're like Dory, Finding Nemo, but that's how we live it.
All right.
Wait. So when do we get to see Cade Horton again? And will it be as a starter or will there be an opener?
We're going to do some work on the White Sox this weekend, but I think you'll see him this weekend.
Friday, Saturday, starting?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, those are days that are on the weekend. It's
Come
true.
Come on, man.
Craig, how do you feel like PCA's handling Starter? I mean, he always seems like a guy that's built for the spotlight, but actually being in the spotlight is different. How do you think he's handling it?
Yeah, I mean, I think Pete's doing great. I mean, I think, nothing about kind of what's happening off the playing field, I think, has changed anything with Pete's doing on the playing field and or how he prepares. So I think he's handled it wonderfully. And I, last year, one of the things that I was really proud of Pete for, and I thought one of the best signs of last year, and we probably talked about this, I just thought his routine, you know, despite his struggles, he got very consistent in his routine, and in a good way. And like it was purposeful. It meant something. It made him better, and he didn't bail on it as he struggled, which is hard to do. And that, you know, that kind of discipline helps you when you go through other things. And this is one of those other things. This is not struggle. This is the other side of it, maybe. But that discipline to that routine and to that preparation and the consistency of it, you know, helps him on this side of it too.
Craig Counsell with us here on Spiegelman Homes for a couple more minutes. Ryan Pressly with the scream after he got the swinging strikeout to end the inning last night. What's the key to handling a successful pro like Ryan Pressly in a moment like this where he has struggled and the role is kind of, you know, moving around, if not fully shifted, just kind of moving around? What's the key to handling a guy like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of people kind of got different jobs here. You know, we'd let them know that the roles were going to change for a period of time. And then you kind of go to work on trying to help them improve on some things. And that doesn't happen like overnight. But hopefully we've got enough, you know, we've started that process and hopefully making some strides for progress there. And then ultimately, yeah, we'd like to get him back to the back of the game. So that's, you know, we got to tell him the news. You got to tell him what's going on. You got to be honest with him and direct with him, and then go to work on trying to make improvements. And Press has been, he's a consummate pro. He cares about trying to doing it for the team and getting it right. And he's handled this as well as you can handle it, and he's handled it the right way, and try to just keep coming back and getting better.
That's cool. Are you, as a manager, comfortable with a bullpen where sometimes you close with Porter Hodge, sometimes you close with Drew Pomeranz? Sometimes, like, some managers really like that push-button answer. It can be stressful. How's your comfort level right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just the situation you're in. I mean, I think when you have a, you know, when it's very scripted, it means those guys are really executing at a super high level. I think, you know, we can't just put our head in the sand if we need to make some changes and say no. We have to like acknowledge that some players can struggle, and we got to get them back on track. But let's do it in a way that doesn't, you know, that helps the team still, right? And everybody's going to go through times like that. So that's what we're trying to do. And that's part of going through a season. And we'll continue to do that. And, you know, there's kind of different situations call for different, actions.
Well, a good example of that is Chris Flexen. Well, what have you thought of his contribution to you guys?
We've gotten some great contributions from some guys that haven't started here. I think Chris Flexen, Drew Pomeranz, on the roster right now are two great examples of, you know, two relievers that have come in and really just, you know, in Flexen's case, you know, covered some seemingly didn't seem like big innings that turned into a couple of big innings in a couple of games. And then Drew's just been outstanding, getting lefties out. He obviously had a save the other night, but just kind of filling in and filling up the zone and with strikes. He's done a great job throwing strikes. So both those guys really doing their job. And the bullpens are very – it's a unit that they're all connected to each other, man. You get your outs, you help the next guy, right? And you don't get your outs, and then somebody has to pitch. So those two guys have certainly been doing a great job of it.
One more on the bullpen. You said about Palencia, he's, quote, an important pitcher for us, taking a big step forward, unquote. Could you expound on that for Daniel?
No, I think that says it all.
Okay, good. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty succinct when I think about it. You know, yeah. Like I know what you meant.
I'm going to go the anti-talk radio stance here.
That's good.
He's going newspaper on us.
That's good. Well, you know, he speaks in sound bites. That's nice. All right, we'll move on. Are we going to see Ballesteros against a lefty? Are we going to see that during his stint here? Does he get a chance to show he can hit those guys in this in what will probably be what a DH stint?
Yeah, I would. I don't know for sure. I don't. You know, looking at who's moving forward or how long he's going to be here. We're gonna face some righties this weekend. I think there's a potential we face some openers this weekend as well. So, you know, there's some different variables tossed in there. I think at this point, if it was a traditional left-handed starter, he will not be in the lineup. No.
All right, we will have more hippy dippy baloney ready for you the next time we speak. Sir,
I think
we'll
it's
make sure.
I'm ready for it. Yeah. Ready for it.
Craig, clearly. Good luck tonight against the Marlins. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Take care, guys.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Le pone Mbappé, responde, la manda al izquierdo, esto va a picar, le da la vuelta, viene, la carrera del Gane, al plato, ¡sí! Y los Chicago Cubs ganan el partido, walk off, qué manera de hacerlo, tremendo, los Chicago Cubs, marcador final, 5-4.
We loved to hear the voice of Miguel Esparza. He is the Spanish radio announcer for the Cubs, the Bulls, and the Blackhawks. He is at Miguel's Voice on X, and he joins us on Twitch as well, twitch.tv/Chicago670, the score. And I know that the Cubs were celebrating Heritage last night, but it was also nice to hear Miguel sing the seventh inning stretch. Miguel, a wonderful day for you as usual in the broadcast world. Thanks for joining us on Rahimi and Harris with Mark Rohde on the score.
Thank you, guys. Good morning. It was fun. I'll tell you that. I don't know if I was able to sleep much, but it's fun. It's good stuff.
What was your favorite part outside of the actual walk-off of that game, because there were a lot of twists and turns, and we had a major league debut for one player. We had an outstanding starting pitching, and then we had drama with Ryan Pressly coming in a high leverage situation. What, outside of the walk-off, was your favorite part of that game?
You know, I think that something that we've seen from this team is the fact that there's no give up in this team, right? It didn't matter if they were down or if for example, Julian Merriweather had a bad night. But like you mentioned, Ryan Pressly comes up. But I think Carson Kelly just fighting that at bat and making sure he's on base. We talked about Moises Ballesteros beating out that potential double play. It was just the way it unfolded. Everything was just perfect. And now, based on the favorite part of my night, I think it was just seeing that celebration and everybody just having a great time. I heard you guys talking about the wave. Hey, listen, let's wave. Hello.
Yeah, I'm good with it, man. I'm all good with it. But I gotta ask you about the adrenaline factor, because I know what you're talking about. I mean, the final call. You did the seventh inning stretch, which is awesome to do every time. And I honestly, like, I there may have been seventh inning stretches that were as good as yours, but I've never heard one better than that, man, with the full base right. Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean it, like, right on the notes. I mean, it was beautiful. How do you come down from the adrenaline? Because I get adrenaline from lesser things than that sometimes, and I end up just tossing and turning in bed until like 4 o'clock in the morning. Do you have a way to de-adrenalize yourself?
I don't. I think I want to sleep like around 3:30 in the morning. It's one of those that you know, it's just everything about the whole day in general, just the preparation, the nerves, because I'm always nervous. It doesn't matter how many times I've done it. I always get nervous. John Benedict, the Oregon player, my guy, Johnny, he makes it so easy to be able to do it together. So, you know, it's one of those that at the end of the day, I enjoy every time I'm invited. I'm a Cubs fan. I remember going to Cubs games and looking up to see who was singing that seventh inning stretch. And for me, that's just a great responsibility, right? So I make sure that I try to do it the right way.
Miguel, what is the hardest part about singing the seventh inning stretch? I would think it is hearing that echo, knowing that your voice is on the speakers that are even in the outfield, and trying to keep the time with the organist as well.
The hardest for me is not letting the nerves take over. I was shaking, but I had to make sure that I was doing it the right way, right? So it's just a matter of controlling my nerves. The music aspect of it, I wanted to be a professional singer when I was growing up. So that's my thing. So I get the opportunity to have both of my worlds collide, which is my job, what I do in broadcasting, but also being able to sing, for me, that's a treat all the time.
Miguel, because this was something we talked about the last segment, and also the Twitch mob is still talking about it. One of the comments coming from Northside 5, Miguel is great, unlike the wave. Are you pro or anti-wave?
I really don't care. You know, honestly, I don't. I'll tell you this. Last night, because it was a Mexican Heritage Night, I knew that wave was going to come. I knew there was no stopping of the wave. Again, I feel like the purists, right, don't like it because they want focus on the game. And I'm a purist at the end of the day. For example, when I used to come to Wrigley as a fan, I made sure that whoever was coming with me, we weren't talking about anything unless it was the game and what was happening on the game. So I get that side of it, but at the end of the day, last night was also a party, and it was a hell of a party.
Did you consider singing the stretch in Spanish?
No. I don't even know if I can sing it in Spanish. I think it would just sound weird.
Okay.
But I did count it out in Spanish.
Yes.
Which is always cool, and to hear them count with me in Spanish, it's always special.
Well, and I did appreciate that part of it, and it was a great crowd last night, as it tends to be at Wrigley, but you saw a lot of people wearing the jersey that sold out that they had available for the Mexican Heritage Night, which I thought was really cool. The shirt they gave away was nice as well, but to see that celebration and just that aspect of it being a part of this, how much do you think that added to last night's just game and atmosphere?
Oh, it was big. We were able to go to Dodger Stadium last year with the Cubs. And the way they celebrate the culture out there, it's amazing to see. And more we see our fan base grow in the Latino side and just coming more to Wrigley. So it's very special that the Cubs are including the Latino heritage, and we're going to have Puerto Rican heritage coming up as well. So it for me, as a born and raised here in Chicago, my father is from Mexico, my mom is from Puerto Rico. I just love to see that. I love to see the growth and just, again, embracing everyone. I love it.
When you look at the way that Moises Ballesteros was received last night by that fan base, what does that tell you about that crowd specifically last night and just overall where we are with the Cubs this season, that a prospect making his major league debut is getting that kind of fanfare before he's ever even swung the bat?
It's amazing to watch, right? Because, again, you talk about this. A lot of people said, oh, they were only there because of the jersey, right? And they don't know that that's why they're doing the wave and whatnot. But at the end of the day, when he did come up to the plate, and you see how everyone's on their feet, everyone's getting excited. You talk about the excitement behind this team as well. It's just amazing to watch that vibe at Wrigley Field this season. It's been beautiful.
I also want to ask you this. As an announcer for the Cubs, knowing this team and how they've battled back in all these games so far, we're just in May. Are you anticipating a walk-off anytime it's the bottom of the ninth inning and they're down?
I do. And a couple of years, I started recording my calls in, I think it was 2021. Anytime there was a potential big moment, I would set up to record. But now more than ever, I have a booth camera set up, and then I'll bring out my phone. Last night I was on TikTok Live, you know, so it's always one of those things that I know that can happen now more than ever, because you see them down. And this is something that I've mentioned during my broadcast, the fact that if they get scored twice right on top of an inning, they'll come back and probably score three in the bottom. You know, it's been one of those kind of teams, and the way you see that resilience, and I love it.
Well, Miguel, thank you so much for joining us. It's great to have your voice on our broadcast.
Thank
you. And you did an excellent job with the walk-off call per usual in the seventh inning stretch last night.
Thanks, Miguel.
Thank you so much, guys. Take care. Have a good day.
Thanks again to Miguel Esparza joining us on Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody. And also, we want to let you know that we've got more stuff you got to pay attention to. How about this? Listen today through Thursday for your chance to win tickets to our live broadcast at Brick House in Wrigleyville with special guest Ian Happ on May 28th. It is all brought to you by Verizon.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score as advertised. Ron does indeed turn up. God bless you. And it is a special edition of the show. We are broadcasting live from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Studio, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all. Also, Nuts on Clark has done an amazing job. Now they're making, did you see this? Like popcorn balls where you roll them up with marshmallow and candy and
those
such.
Those are awesome.
What the heck is that? I am now covered in butter. I am literally,
I am
so embarrassed because I'm like, I'm going to have to like hose down the butter for the rest of
the
show.
Apologies to your arteries.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
Mitch, is there a shower around close by?
Is there a doctor in the house?
That was fun.
No, that was great, David. Well done.
Very good. I was nervous for you, though, David. Going up against Nuts on Clark and you're making homemade popcorn is like going in a home run hitting contest against Babe Ruth.
Yes.
I'm like, ooh, that's pushing your luck, buddy. I was nervous for you, but it turned out okay.
A little bit of pressure there. Yes, I likened it to taking batting practice with you in the cage, watching and being able to critique every little thing about my swing. But yeah, that was a lot of fun, and they did a great job setting that up in there. So and Rich Wyatt got me hooked up, so that was fun.
Yeah, it was
good
great.
Segment.
Way to go, Rich. Good
so,
job.
Ron, obviously, you heard Tommy Hotovy. You were here when the Cubs pitching coach was here. Today is a fun day because it's Cubs versus White Sox, and there's always that kind of element for the fans. I think today is extra special and feels bigger almost from a Cub perspective because of the Chicago debut of Cade Horton. First start. We saw him in New York. He really looked the part. But this is a young man who is making his debut in at Wrigley Field, and I think it's – you tell me if it's an exaggeration. The biggest debut for a Cubs rookie since Mark Pryor because of the way they drafted him, developed him, and now are going to be relying on him.
I would say you could make that case. There's no doubt. There were a few others. For a pitcher, there's no doubt. For the pitching side, there's absolutely no doubt. And it's going to be fun for him and his family and everybody that's going to come to Wrigley. Today, as we all know, this, you know, throw the records, you can crumble them out, throw them out. Wrigley Field's going to be rocking on the south side. When we go over there, the place is packed and it's rocking. So it's just fun. I love this series for that reason alone. But then you throw Cade in there, and that's going to be very good. He's a really nice young guy with a great arm. And, you know, it's his time now, right? It's his time. He's done what you're supposed to do. To warrant, okay, it's, you know, he hasn't been in the minor leagues very long, but when you do what you're supposed to do, exactly what they're asking, now you get your turn. And he threw the ball well in his first outing. He got through the nerves in the first inning. I thought that was good. He gave up a 3-run homer. And then the next hitter, he pounded the strike zone, which to me, those are all good signs. I was good.
Right.
You got to see all that. And we saw it in his first outing.
Mully cringed when I said that.
I just hope he doesn't strike out 20, David. That's
There's that. I'm staying away from those questions, Mike.
I didn't cringe. I was just like, wow. You know, we're really
well. The Cubs really haven't drafted and developed pitchers to the extent that they have position players. You talk about debuts. Now, Chris Bryan's had a lot of fanfare.
Yep.
Look at even Anthony Rizzo. I can remember when he brought up. Now it was a different because they didn't draft him and develop him. But when you're talking about prospects who came into the Cubs system, he was seventh overall in the 2022 draft. Worked his way up through the system, and now here he is in a major league uniform. This is as big as it gets.
Yeah, I would agree. Don't you think?
Honestly, I think the Chris Bryant, that I will never forget that because the Cubs were awful, and people watched him in the minor leagues for a year, and you'd come into work and be like, you know, and you'd be sitting there while people were watching all of this video of him. So when he came up, it was like extraordinary. It was like a different, otherworldly type of deal. I'm not saying that this is, you're wrong in terms of a pitcher, but I don't know that anything will ever touch the Chris Bryant thing just because of how much suffering you had to go through to get to that point.
I think that's probably fair because you waited for him and the Cubs were in a different place then than they are now. And I almost wondered, Kuma, in your mind, does that put more or less pressure on Cade Horton because they're a team that going – look, Cade Horton's going to add a lot to the Cubs, I think,
correct,
this season. But
no doubt,
even if he doesn't, they're going to be in contention.
Yep.
So it's not like it's on him to keep the Cubs in contention. He could be the kind of guy who has the kind of season that puts them over the top, perhaps. But let's not go there too far,
right,
because that's probably putting too many unrealistic expectations on a young man. But I do think he is capable of being a contributor to a team that wins the division.
I would agree to that statement, absolutely. The other thing, if I were to, you know, give that fatherly advice from a guy that played years ago, I would say don't read anything. Don't read all the hype. Don't read it.
Right.
The good, the bad, the indifferent. Just don't read it at all. You go home and have a great outing, just go home. You have a bad outing, just go. You know what you did. Either one way or the other. Just play baseball. Go out there, do your job, show up every day, be a good teammate, do the best you can do when you show up that day, and play. And I think, you know, that to me, when you're a guy of that magnitude that the whole city is looking at every
right
time he does something, the more you read, the harder it is. I would give that same advice right now to Pete Armstrong. I would say, just play. Go out there, come to the park every day, same time, put your uniform on the same
right
time, go play the game the same way, go home at night, don't watch, don't read, let's just play.
I would give that advice to Moises Ballesteros because I really felt yeah like that was like his first appearance with the Cubs. That was like a lot of hype going on. The fans, everybody was yeah kind of going crazy. And you kind of wondered, I wonder how he is internalizing this. I wonder how he feels. He didn't seem like he was taking his time. He seemed like he was anxious to
well,
I'll show
maybe
you
that created the maybe being over anxious.
Yes.
Because this is not
that's
somebody
what it is. It's over anxious.
Yeah.
He was so the adrenaline
yes
rush was so much. You didn't see the normal hitter that we saw all spring
right
training. You
right
saw this guy that, you know, was grinding right to the mac. You can't hit that way.
Maybe that'll be different today.
I
imagine
so
he'll be in the lineup today. I hope he's in the lineup
he
today.
He should be in the lineup
against
today.
Against the right-hander?
The right-handed pitcher.
If he's in tonight or not, I'll say this. I watched him all spring training, and I made a point of watching him a lot. He can hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've been around a lot of hitters in my day of 40 years being in professional baseball. He can hit. And there's nobody, there's nothing you can take away from that kid other than just go give him a bat. He's gonna rake it, and that's the way it's going to be.
So I get why Craig Council would not maybe start a rookie making his second, you know, in major league game against Ryan Weathers, a left-hander who has good stuff. I get that. I help us understand why the Michael Bush decision comes up as often as it does to rest him against left-handers. I think if you're Craig Council, if you're the Cubs, don't you need to know that you're – first baseman can hit lefties. Don't you think you're in a point where he in his career where he's going to be?
Is he your first baseman?
Well, whether he's your first baseman or your third baseman, he's in the lineup. He's going to be a hitter in your lineup. He's your cleanup hitter.
He's been
cleanup
calling for him.
He's your
third
cleanup hitter. No.
If he's your, okay, we'll get to that in a second. If he's your cleanup hitter, Coombe, don't you need to trust him against lefties?
You do. But going into this season, so roll the clock back
okay
to January, and you're looking to sign players to bring them in. Then you get to February, and then you finally sign Justin Turner, right? So you get to Justin Turner, and now you've got to bring him in, you have to give him something and say, these are the at-bats you're going to get, so he knows I'm actually going to be a part of this club. So they did that. You did not know where Michael Bush was going to be in his, you know, the way he was going to react this season. We didn't know he was going to be this guy that's taken a huge step forward offensively and defensively. So you've already given these at-bats to a veteran player. That's
right.
So you have to give him those at-bats. You said you were going to do that. You should do that. Now, does that is the Michael Bush thing turning into a situation because he's playing really well? Yes, it is. Good for Michael. That's my take on it. You do what you say you were going to do. Michael kind of understood that going into spring. You brought in this veteran guy. Give him his at-bats. Michael's going to be here a long time.
So let's go back to him taking some ground balls at third. And you saw guys as they're walking off the field. I love that
what's with the – No.
But you saw even the outfield. Everyone stopped. Everybody's like, what is he doing over there taking grounders at third? David has been calling for that pretty steadily because if Ballesteros is going to have a gig, then he's going to probably need a spot to play. He feels that he can play some first base. Now he's fairly short. You don't see a lot of –
I was no shot blocker, and I'm right under 6 foot.
Yeah.
5'7" might be pushing. There's nowhere Steve Garvey's in the world that I'm sure I'd play.
I was saying, when Dansby threw that ball over the head, I was like, oh, boy, that's not the guy you want at first base if he's going to throw like that. But tell us why no third base.
So my take is a couple things. One, I think, Michael, you've asked Michael last year, who played some second base with the Dodgers and moved, but was known as a hitter. Moved him to first, and he puts all this time and effort in with our infield instructors and turns himself into a really good first baseman now. That just happened. Now you're going to say, because of need, we're going to take this really good first baseman and a guy who's key to our infielders and move him to a spot that he really is uncomfortable in throwing the baseball. And now you've made two spots with good hitters weak instead of having one good and then trying to fill that spot over there. I think you just figure out third base and you leave what's the strength strong.
Devil's advocate. So
that's good.
You're assuming he's uncomfortable playing third base. He's a very good athlete. He did play second in the Dodgers system.
Very good athlete.
He's very adaptable. You also may be lengthening your lineup even more by getting two really dangerous left-handed hitters in the I don't know if in the middle of it, but in it.
I agree about the hitting part.
Yeah.
The hitting part I got no problem with. The defensive part, I would say you're not looking at him to be an everyday guy. If that stretches out a game and he goes over there because you need him to on occasion, that's a different story than saying we're going to move him to third base and try to fix that spot. I would not – that is not something I think you – you do at this point.
But I believe Rafael Devers said that anyone can play there.
No, how's that working out?
he wouldn't move to first.
Do you think that Matt Shaw, he hit two home runs last night at Iowa. Do you think that games like that announce that he's ready to come back? Or do you think the Cubs have to wait until they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's ready to come back? But when do you ever know, Coon? When do you ever know?
I think you send your scouts down there and you pay attention to what he's doing, and you read the daily report. I'm not a big analytics guy. I talk about that on the air. You know, I didn't grow up in that era of baseball. My eyes do the scouting for me. If you're watching him, there's one analytics stat to me that really stands out with someone like Matt. So you look at how he's doing down there, and you can look at – I'm not a launch angle guy. I'm not – but there's an exit velocity thing. How hard is he hitting the ball on a regular basis? Is he squaring the ball up, or is he getting three hits and two of them are bloops and then one ball squared up? If you're not hitting at a really high level in AAA, what are you going to do here?
Right.
That's my thing. So that's one of the analytics stats that you can look at from Chicago and get an idea of how he's doing in Iowa.
Do we know how he's doing with
I've heard, you know, he's hitting 250. The other day, before the off day, he was hitting 257. I think he had one home run or two. He hit two the other day. Mm-hmm. The wind was howling out where he was at. But I saw the swings, and he squared the ball up. He's quieting things down, right? He had a lot going on. We talked about that. That, crazy. To me, wasn't the biggest issue. The biggest issue is when his front foot gets down. You can, you know, there was a great hitter that I played against here with the White Sox for years, Harold Baines, Hall of Famer now.
Yeah.
Harold moved, everything moved when Harold was hitting, until the ball started coming to him, and then he went whoop and locked in, and he could hit lefties, righties, it didn't matter, a lot of movement. You can hit that way. Okay. It's not easy, but it has to stop when you start recognizing the pitch, and your front foot has to get down early. So then you can swing at what you're seeing and not reacting in your body, moving the wrong way. That's a little
That's interesting. Because that's what I was saying earlier in the year. It reminded me of, you remember Paul Edinger? He had this corkscrew field goal kicking. I remember talking to Dave Tobe when Edinger kind of went off the boil. And I'm like, what are you going to do with him? How do you? And he's like, listen, I'm looking at tape. No one kicks like that. I don't know when he's supposed to. Yeah. He's like, I'm trying to, take a look at the video. And there he is over it. He looks like his leg turned slightly. It's so unconventional.
How do you fix something when you don't have the owner's manual?
And that's what I, that's right. Just from the naked eye looking at him, like, oh God, like what, how do you make that work? If that goes off the boil, what is it you tell him? Hey, knock it all off. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what it is.
Well, Harold Baines had Walt Reniac.
Yes.
Great hitting coach.
Yes.
Charlie Lau was right before that. So you had two of the most iconic hitting coaches of all time. And that was something that guys were doing then. What Matt's doing now, guys aren't doing that. So you're not having a lot of hitting coaches that are
Who was the best hitting coach you had?
I was Carlton Fisk.
Oh, really?
I ended up working with Pudge in the winter for years and then adapted that concept of Charlie Lau and Walt Reniac into what I did. And I couldn't hit like Pudge and Ron Kittle were big, tall guys.
Yes.
When I was not. I was short, stocky, strong. So I had to take some of their theories and some of that and mold them into what was going to work for me and, kind of figure that out.
Why was Carlton Fisk so committed to making the Twins better?
He made Ron Coomer better. I should send him half my salaries that I should do. But he was, I had a couple guys that I was with. Mike Barnett was Terry Francona's hitting coach. One of the best video guys and watching it and looking at you. He was with the Yankees forever during the Mattingly era. And he got me fine-tuned after this time with Pudge to go, you need to do this, this, and this, and then you're going to square the ball. And I went from being somewhat of a prospect to on my way to the big leagues like that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I'm curious, but, we keep hearing about Miguel Vargas of the White Sox. Yep. He's moved his hands slightly. He's changed his hands. Now, all of a sudden, the guy can hit. The guy was like, you were wondering if he could play baseball. That's how bad things had gotten. And now, all of a sudden, he's discovered something or uncovered something.
A subtle mechanical change has certainly is changed that all the course it takes? Of his season.
That's what it I'm can. Asking. It happened with the Cubs last year. Amaya was struggling.
Very good.
They took him out of the lineup for an entire weekend. He went to the cage, and Craig Counsell and the hitting group went there. He came out a hitter.
By the same token, I know you're the Cubs, but I know you pay attention to everything in baseball. Colson Montgomery, the Sox prospect, just went to Arizona for a couple weeks, worked on his swing, broke it down, and maybe Reed just changed everything mechanically. He's this small sample size since his return has shown some progress. Can a guy save his career by making a subtle change in a couple weeks?
Absolutely. That's what being a young player is all about. My take on it is when you're revamping your team, let's say, and you're bringing in all these young guys, before you do that, you go out and find the best hitting and the best pitching guys to work with your young kids, not the guys in the big leagues. Find the guys that can go down there and make an impact and can look in a cage and go, that's right, that's not right. We need to fix that part. That's how you do that. And then you start creating these kids that can
Why weren't you ever hitting coach? Did you ever think about it?
I kind of like this broadcast gig. I interviewed for that. The hitting coach job,
here.
So they get fired too fast. At least with Mitch, I know I'm going to be here next week.
Don't you blame the hitting coach always? It's so true. It's always like
look at every team on both sides of the city. That's the unfortunate part. And I kind of like sitting, that Hughes guy's a pretty good guy to work with.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. Help us out here. So we got the Cubs playing the White Sox. The Cubs coming off this Marlins series where they scored 5 runs in 1 inning in the second game, which was great. But if they're not able to come back, that was the first game. The second game, they come back and they win the game. And the takeaway is they can do that anytime. They're that good a team. Then the third game comes and you're sitting there like, okay, now here they go. They're going to have to win the game. How did they lose to the Marlins? Why would they suddenly, from the offensive explosion we've seen against really good teams, get to the weaker part of the schedule, I know I'm asking too much, but why didn't they sweep that team? And frankly, they could have lost that series because that middle game, you needed to kind of have this comeback.
The middle game was a game that they should have done better. There's no doubt. I think you had a great explosion of offense with the Cubs, and we saw it, and it's fun. And when they're on base, because they're athletic, they really put pressure. But, you know, you go through these peaks and valleys, and right now, the offense, this last series, the offense struggled. It really did.
All right.
Coom, thanks for being here.
Absolutely.
Yes. Great stuff. Cubs and Sox later today.
See you guys out at the ballpark, all you guys that are coming out.
12:45 pregame. Zach, you.
Yeah.
Or as Zach says, Pat. Ron, Cubs, Sox, next.
I always worry he's going to hurt himself when he's screaming like that.
I love that.
And hey, we want everyone to know, don't forget, all baseball fans, head to Coombs Corner in Lockport after tonight's game. You'll get the Yingling Game Day Bucket Specials for $12. Score some Yingling swag. That's Dustin's
drink. I'll buy a Yingling, I promise you. There put you it go. On Mitch's tab.
He's good. Mitch is buying drinks for everyone. Plus, they'll have live music later
tonight. We have Johnny Vincent singing tonight.
Who is
Johnny Vincent?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, Johnny is singing.
Wow,
our anthem singer from the Chicago Cubs. If you've never seen him sing, he sang at Ditka's for a long time. He's been a friend. We grew up together. He's singing tonight.
That's going to be great.
And don't miss the post-game party tonight, Coombs Corner in Lockport. This is the man. He is the great human.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. They're finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.